Surveillance and privacy issues have been in the national news a lot in the past couple years. Think Edward Snowden and the NSA.
Our main story tonight is government surveillance. And I realize most people would rather have a conversation about literally any other topic, including is my smartphone giving me cancer, to which the answer is probably, or do goldfish suffer from depression, to which the answer is yes, but very briefly.
That was John Oliver tackling the issue on his show Last Week Tonight. Locally, you may remember when the Oakland City Council debated a controversial surveillance hub last spring called the Domain Awareness Center, or DAC. The hub was originally intended to protect the port against terrorist attack, but city officials proposed to expand it to watch all of Oakland by pulling in security camera footage and sensors from around the city. Privacy activists protested, claiming the center's purpose was less crime prevention and more spying on protesters. Here's former Black Panther chairman and social justice activist Elaine Brown at a rally last year.
It's a police state, and we have to say down with the police state, up with the people, power to the people. Thank you very much.
The protesters got their way. The plan for an expanded domain awareness center failed. But that was just the beginning of the privacy debate in Oakland. KALW's Christina Loring pulls back the surveillance curtain to look at how we're being watched now.
We are headed south, generally towards the 880 freeway.
I'm riding through Oakland with Jeremy Galula. He's with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, also known as the EFF. They're a nonprofit that focuses on defending civil liberties in the digital world.
There is an Oakland police car, and it does have an ALPR on it.
Automatic license plate reader.
You can see those two little boxes that were just under the light bars, sort of pointed on each side.
These little boxes are constantly scanning for license plates. The devices can read up to 60 plates per second and typically record the date, time, and GPS location. That's a ton of data being sucked up every day by these machines. It means if you've driven through Oakland in the last few years, chances are cops know exactly where you've been. That's something that rubbed Galula and the EFF the wrong way.
It's the recording of everyone's location and the maintaining, the retention of that data that's really the big, the thing that gets me, so to speak.
Galula and the EFF wanted to know how all that data was being used. So they did a study based on a week's worth of these scans and mapped them out. Here's what they found. First, there's ALPR hotspots, or places where there's more tracking activity. Galula drives me through one of those hotspots in West Oakland, down International Boulevard toward Fruitvale. And second, the EFF says the hotspots seem to target certain groups of people. To get a better understanding of who is being tracked, the EFF overlaid their maps of where license plates were being read with U.S. Census data, breaking down each area nearly block by ethnicity and income.
You could see that there was much more ALPR activity in areas of lower income and greater Hispanic and African American populations.
So why would the OPD be in the neighborhoods that are lower income communities of color more than anywhere else? The Oakland Police Department says the main purpose of the program is to recover stolen vehicles, and they focus on areas where auto theft is more common. The EFF fact-checked that using OPD's own crime data. Galula says they found there wasn't a strong correlation between high auto theft and ALPR hotspots.
In particular, there were auto theft hotspots where there was no ALPR data, and there was simultaneously places where no cars were stolen, and there was a ton of ALPR data. So it definitely didn't seem to match up.
Galula says it also seems like they're recording parked cars, too, which could mean the information they're storing goes far beyond searching for stolen cars.
It could be constantly picking up, you know, what cars are parked at a anarchist book show, or what cars are parked at a church or a synagogue or a mosque, what cars are parked outside a adult novelty toy shop, what cars are parked outside a hospital. And these are all things where you might not necessarily want the police to have this endless record of where you've been.
And that's what bothers privacy activists, the fact that this is a dragnet of surveillance, that certain communities are watched more than others, and all their data is stored in an easily searchable database. for those who may be thinking, whatever, I'm innocent, I have nothing to hide, Galula says,
the fundamental problem really is that in addition to constantly scanning, it's recording everything it sees, and it's saving that.
Possibly saving that information forever. Galula says he's concerned the OPD is compiling a database of residents' whereabouts without any clear indication of how that information will be used. But the Oakland Police Department says they really are using the latest technology to help bring back stolen cars.
It's hard finding stolen cars.
That's Oakland Police Department Captain Anthony Toribio.
And this is a tool to help with that. In terms of the investigative step, if we know there's a car that has been involved in a robbery or a carjacking or an assault with a deadly weapon, and we want to focus our resources to where perhaps that car frequents, I think it's an effective and an efficient use of our resources.
When an officer gets an ALPR hit, he'll cross-check the plates with the dispatcher to see if it's one of the license plates on their hot list of wanted or stolen vehicles. For all the cars they scan this way, only 0.16% of the license plates they capture actually help them return stolen vehicles. Toribio says when you put that against the high volume of plates they're reading, it's still effective. And he says they aren't compiling a database that will last forever. After license plate data is captured, they keep it for up to 2 years and then remove it from their system. When I mention privacy concerns, Captain Toribio says,
that camera or that system is collecting information that's out in the public. So it's something that's readily available, and that because it is in public and it's something that we are collecting and utilizing for investigative purposes.
But if you're from one of the communities that falls into an ALPR hotspot we mentioned earlier, you may have a different view.
When you introduce technology as a way to spy on people in communities of color, it becomes racial profiling on steroids.
That's Kat Brooks, a social justice and privacy activist from Oakland who protested the expansion of the Domain Awareness Center.
We know that the federal government is tapping our phones. We know that the federal government is in our emails. We know that the federal government is building domain awareness centers, or giving money to cities to build domain awareness centers across the country. And then, of course, you add the license plate readers on top of that, right? And it's 1984 in 2015, live and in color. And in communities like Oakland that are highly political, it goes even beyond just the criminalization and invasion of communities of color. It also leads to the targeting, profiling, and monitoring of activists.
Activists like her. This increased reliance on technology to capture and store citizen data worries Brian Hoffer of the Oakland Privacy Working Group. He wants to make sure there's a way for the public to vet this type of technology before it's implemented. That's why he's working on a new privacy policy that'll come before the Oakland City Council on April 14th. Hoffer tells me the most difficult part of all of this is distinguishing security equipment from surveillance.
The definition of surveillance equipment will probably be the biggest dispute other than liability in the ordinance. Everyone I've spoken to, from the mayor's office on down, Chief Went from OPD, supports retention limits of some amount.
That means how long the OPD can hold on to the data it collects.
They all agree to transparency and independent audits. It's the struggle over what is surveillance equipment.
Because different equipment could mean different guidelines. And it's not just license plate readers. Police gather data with other technology too, like ShotSpotter, a gunshot detection tool that uses audio sensors to listen for gunshots. Privacy activists like Hoffer worry it could be abused as a citywide microphone. It's a classic conundrum of private tracking in a public space. As this process unfolds, Hoffer believes that Oakland is setting the standards for the privacy debate in 2015 and that other cities are watching.
So many people are introducing, whether it's a drone that requires a warrant, whether it's the harvesting of cell phone location data, there's a lot of privacy legislation being introduced. I have this wonderfully encouraging small voice in my head that says 2015 is going to be the year for privacy.
It's also going to be a year when more monitoring technologies are introduced, and Oakland will have to decide which ones are working to combat crime and which ones are spying on citizens. Oakland, like so many other places, will have to grapple with how private they want their public spaces. In Oakland, I'm Christina Loring for Cross Currents.